Hey, everybody. So it's not often that we talk about music here on this show or bands, but when we do, I think it's when it's worth listening to and when I run across a song or a band that I think it's worth sharing on this show. And that's one of these moments. And that's one of those bands that I think you guys should listen to. And it's just a particular song right now. And the song is called To the Fallen Sons. It's by a band called Carolus, C-A-R-O-L-U-S. And they're a newly formed band from Sweden. And they love making music about history, which is really, really cool. So this song in particular is about Carolians and the soldiers of the Swedish kings, King Charles the VI and King Charles the VII in the late 17th and 18th centuries. So let me give you a quick sample. And again, you can find them on Spotify under the song To the Fallen Sons. It's by Carolus, C-A-R-O-L-U-S. Hey guys, we're going to get everything started in just a minute with my review of Chapter 1 and 2 of The Undertaker's The Last Ride documentary on the WWE Network. Probably one of the best documentaries I've ever seen, not just in wrestling, but ever. And so we're going to get all that started. So much to dive into. Really excited about the show today. So let's get it all going right after this. Hey guys, so if you love wrestling podcasts, and well, you do because you're listening to this show, there's another show out there that I really would recommend you guys give a listen, and that's called The Legit Shoot Podcast. And what it is a YouTube-based podcast that reviews every single AEW, NXT, Raw, SmackDown, you name it, every pay-per-view, and it's under the YouTube channel Fitzmonk TV, that's F-I-T-Z, Monk TV. And you know, this is one of those channels you can tell is just going to grow and grow and grow. The quality is very well done. The audio, number one, is superb as far as the audio quality. And the number of uploads per week, I mean, they do an upload almost every single day, minimum like 4 or 5 times a week. And they do all of the wrestling content that you're looking for reviews and opinions and thoughts on. So go head over to the YouTube channel. It's Fitzmonk TV, F-I-T-Z, Monk TV. Subscribe to the channel. And don't forget to enable all notifications by ringing the bell next to the channel name. And follow them on Twitter at Glorin33, which is G-L-O-R-I-N-33, to discuss all things wrestling. Again, head on over to Fitzmonk TV, and you guys will get your wrestling fix every single day with a podcast on AEW, NXT, SmackDown, and everything in between. So go over to the YouTube channel and subscribe today.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? 'Cause Stone Cold said so.
Alrighty guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast, a very special edition of this show, and very unique. This will be the very first time that we have reviewed a documentary on the WWE Network, or really gone over any specific exclusive programming on the WWE Network, exclusive content on the WWE Network, and yeah, we've covered pay-per-views. We have our wrestling nostalgia that we do on a weekly basis. We have done quick hits where we take a single topic and just talk about it for the entire show. But we have never gone over a documentary in parts in the entirety of this show, in almost 400 episodes of this show's existence. We have never done this. And so this is what it's really exciting because not only is it the first time ever, and that's always a fun thing to say, but it's also because this was one of, and I said at the top of the show, this was one of the best documentaries I've seen ever. And yeah, we've gone through two chapters, right? There's two out of five, and there's one every week. But those two chapters, this is some of the best work I've seen WWE production do ever. And I'm going to be bringing on a co-host as we roll on here in the coming weeks, and especially at the conclusion of week five, to talk about this documentary. And it's worth discussing for an entire show. I'm dedicating my entire show to just part one and part two here. So we're going to get into it. And again, this, I mean, it's 5 out of 5 stars. And yes, it's 2 out of 5 parts. I get it. But what I've seen so far, it's seriously 5 out of 5 stars. It's the most, one of the most captivating things I've ever seen. So we're going to get to that in just a minute with a lot of praise for those of you that think that I'm all about the negative. Boy, this show is going to certainly balance that out. So thank you guys for joining me. This is the WWE Podcast, the unofficial WWE Podcast that comes to you 6, sometimes 7 times a week. So we are here in the, I was going to say in the flesh. No, we are here in spirit. We're here in voice for you guys to absorb our opinions and thoughts on what's going on in WWE and yeah, AEW. Get over it. We're the WWE Podcast, but we cover AEW. So there's that. But we also have a website, and it's wwepodcast.com for all of your content. We just put up a new post today from Nick DeSilva, who is a contributor for the website, and it's all about Owen Hart. And as we approach his birthday, he really dives into his career and not just covering what happened, the tragedy that happened in at Over the Edge. And when I said his birthday, I meant his incident at Over the Edge. So I don't mean birthday, I meant tragedy. But it was a great piece. Check it out. I'd really recommend that you do. It's under the opinion section of our show. It's also right on the main page, about halfway down, and you'll see the picture of Owen Hart. So check that out if you want to. All right. And so we're going to get into a little bit of the audio, too, from the documentary. Just a little bit of it. I'm not trying to copyright anything. This is straight off the WWE Network, and we'll get to that in very small bursts. Of course, all of that content is owned by WWE, not me. They own all the rights and privileges to that content. Just have to say that. So we're not obviously doing video, but some of the audio is not mine. It's WWE's. So we will get to that in a minute, too. And so the rest of the week, guys, here's what's going to happen. As I speak, Raw is still going on the USA Network. So it's being recorded. I watch it tomorrow on Tuesdays, and then I give my show later that night. And then Wednesdays, your nostalgia, and then Thursday and Friday. Usually Thursday, I drop both AEW and NXT, but sometimes AEW and NXT are staggered between Thursday and Friday for the review shows. And then we should be having a new co-host here for the SmackDown review that will be coming this weekend. And I also have a host that's doing the weekend review. So, boy, that's a lot of shows. A lot of shows for you guys. A lot of therapy for me. So it's a win-win situation, no doubt. So, all right. Well, hope everyone's doing well, right? I mean, we are into about 2 months into our lockdowns, or starting to come out of them. I know here in New York, we're starting to slowly come out. It is a painfully slow process. And even when you are, the restrictions are eased and lifted, it's still a, well, you got to wear a mask. You still got to stay far apart. It's still not full capacity in a build. So it's like, yeah, even when you're through the phases, it's better, but it's still not back to what we want it to be. And that's post or pre this whole just mitigated mental disaster that is the virus outbreak. So hope everyone's, you know, staying well, and maybe this show is helping you through this. I hope it is. I hope even a small part of it is for some of you that are out there that are still at work, and you're starting to go back to work. Maybe we can help you get through your day. Maybe you can make us a small part of your day. That would be a pretty cool thing, right? Because you're here to listen to wrestling. So speaking of which, Hell, let's dive into it. The Undertaker, The Last Ride documentary. And I've seen a lot of documentaries. Watched a lot of Netflix, as many of you have. Some good, some not so good. Some intriguing, some not. This is right up in the top of my list. And, you know, I obviously know that as a wrestling fan, I am biased towards the content of this documentary. I am absolutely biased towards it because we're wrestling fans. So if you have a topic that you're interested in, regardless of how it's produced, you have a much, typically and statistically should have a higher perception of that documentary because you want the content. But the content was great, yes. But the production of this was just, it must have taken forever to put together. With all the footage, all the edits, following Taker around from WrestleMania to WrestleMania to WrestleMania, it must have been exhausting. And Vince allowing cameras in places you would never think Vince would allow a camera. And on top of that, The Undertaker never does podcasts, never breaks character typically, is very protective of his character, a very private person, has now really opened up all at once after 30 years about his last few WrestleManias, last five or so. And it is life-changing if you're a wrestling fan. And I don't mean life-changing in maybe your personal life, but as a wrestling, your wrestling life fandom, it changes my perspective of The Undertaker. Not in a bad way. It really allows you to see the man behind The Undertaker, Mark Calloway. That's really where the story, the heart of this is, the soul of this documentary is Mark Calloway. It's a little bit of Undertaker, but it's the struggles of what he's going through that many of us thought were happening, but we didn't know maybe to what extent or the severity or the frequency, and especially not just the physical part, the mental part that no one talks about. The mental part that nobody discusses with The Undertaker, because we all assume that he is just delusional in what he thinks he can do at this point, and that's not the case. And the mental struggles and strains and really looks like depression at times that he's gone through, and the lack of self-confidence is probably one of the most striking things about this documentary, is that you get to see The Undertaker, Mark Calloway, struggling to come to grips with where he's at in his wrestling career. And also his family. You get to see, I mean, yeah, we all knew Michelle McCool was his wife. We knew that. But you get to hear from her. How is this affecting her? You know, why? How does Mark interact with her? Are they close? Does she seem frustrated with him? Keep that, because he keeps going back to wrestling for that one more match. And I gotta say, I didn't see any frustration in her. I saw concern. I saw concern from a wife's perspective for the health of her husband. That's what I saw. And it really humanized The Undertaker, but not in a way that I typically complain or get frustrated with WWE by humanizing or breaking kayfabe. This is a guy that spent 30 years in the ring. 30 years in the ring. And has protected his character more than anybody else that I can think of in the modern era. And he comes out all at once and exposes his thoughts, his inner thoughts, exposes his family, and he, for a very private guy, that is unheard of. And so it's like you get everything at once. You get all the lenses that you'd want, all the conversations that The Undertaker had that we would have never heard if it had not been for this documentary. When he goes in and talks to Vince Of course, Vince kicked out the camera crew. This is in chapter two. But you hear the backstage conversations, you know, before WrestleMania. You hear the very confidential things that maybe you wouldn't have otherwise heard. So, all right, well, let's get into some of this audio here. And this is the first clip I'm going to play for you is right, well, not right before, but it is Undertaker commenting on the Brock Lesnar match at WrestleMania 30. So let's just take a listen, and we'll be back with some thoughts.
You know, the match with Brock happened, which to this day, I still don't remember.
This match is simply about one thing, the 21-0 undefeated streak of The Undertaker.
I'm not sure when I got concussed. I don't know how that match happened. I have no recollection of any of that. My last memory of that day was at about, I'd say 3:30 in the afternoon.
A 3rd and 5 to The Undertaker! The streak is over!
So, the first clip I played there was obviously the most infamous moment in his WrestleMania career, the end of the streak and Brock breaking it, but that's not the story here. We've dissected that many times. The real story here is the health of Mark and the fact that he was concussed early on in that match, and the scary part that he reveals is he doesn't remember most of it, or any of it, actually, because he says the last memory he has of that day was at 3:30 in the afternoon. They didn't go on until probably, what, 10 o'clock? Maybe a little earlier, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. So there's like a 7-8 hour window where he doesn't remember. That's scary. And Mark goes on to talk about how this really shook his confidence because he had not been in a position like that before. He doesn't even have he can't pinpoint the moment when he got concussed. And if you look back at the match, I couldn't either. I remember watching that match, like many others, seeing Undertaker have the most glazed over look in his eyes, like the lights are on, but nobody's home. And I remember having that feeling, and you know, but I didn't actually think he got concussed. I thought, well, that's just Undertaker winded, or that's Undertaker being Undertaker. I don't know. But it did seem off, and come to find out, it was a really bad concussion for the Undertaker. And so, again, this is just the tip of the iceberg that you get from this documentary. And, you know, he goes again from WrestleMania to WrestleMania. He mentions again WrestleMania 30, as I just played that clip for you. But he really starts at WrestleMania 33 and where he faced Roman Reigns. And I was there, so that does help a little bit from my own personal perspective. But he goes on to talk about with Roman Reigns, you know, how much of a disappointment he felt that he was and how he felt like he let Roman Reigns down. And, you know, it wasn't the worst match in the world. It wasn't Goldberg Undertaker, but it was definitely a match that you go, that's Undertaker's not right. And when he couldn't get the tombstone where Roman Reigns couldn't, reverse the tombstone wasn't the fault of Roman Reigns. It was the fault of Undertaker for not being able to get up for Roman. And that was a little concerning. And, you know, it wasn't Undertaker's best match. It wasn't an embarrassment like he thought it was, at least in my opinion. And so he felt really bad about Roman Reigns having to carry the Undertaker essentially through that match. So we also get a look at the injuries. And yes, we heard about the concussion, but we also, as you get into chapter two, see the hip surgery. And Undertaker's had over 15 surgeries, and him and his wife joke to the doctors every time they ask, have you had any surgeries before? You know, he's like, take your pick, basically. He's been reconstructed head to toe. And Jim Ross has said that a number of times, that he's basically Frankenstein. I mean, he's been put together so many times after all these the injuries and broken fingers and two hip replacements and concussions and all that kind of thing. I mean, this guy has so much mileage on his body that is most people couldn't even fathom. So the other thing he talks about, and this is really the key moment for the whole chapter one. And I'll just let you listen to it, and then we'll talk about it.
Just because, like I said, it would just kill me if I was you should have seen him win, you know, and not what he is now.
Hey, everybody. So it's not often that we talk about music here on this show or bands, but when we do, I think it's when it's worth listening to, and when I run across a song or a band that I think it's worth sharing on this show. And that's one of these moments. And that's one of those bands that I think you guys should listen to. And it's just a particular song right now. And the song is called To the Fallen Sons. It's by a band called Carolus, Carolus. And they're a newly formed band from Sweden. And they love making music about history, which is really, really cool. So this song in particular is about Carolians and the soldiers of the Swedish kings, King Charles the VI and King Charles the VII, in the late 17th and 18th centuries. So let me give you a quick sample. And again, you can find them on Spotify under the song To the Fallen Sons. It's by Carolus, Carolus. So, I mean, I know that's a small thing, but that was his greatest fear, is being a parody of himself and having to hear that somebody turned to his son and said, you should have seen him back when. And look, the reality is that fear has already been realized, because I can guarantee you that there were guys, older men in the audience, maybe my age or a little older, that have brought their sons to wrestling events with The Undertaker there and probably turned to them and said that very thing. And the fact is that he is not the same man he was, but he can reinvent himself. That's what The Undertaker is great at, is reinventing himself. So that was a key thing that Undertaker said. And he says that many, many times throughout the documentary that you can hear it in his voice, that he doesn't want to be a parody of himself. So, and then we get a lot of superstar interviews from Kurt Angle, from Edge, from many others. I think Austin pops in a little bit, and you get to hear the conversations too at the Hall of Fame, which was really cool. You got to hear Undertaker speak quickly with many, many people. And he actually went up to Roman Reigns and introduced himself to his wife, and they had a kind of an awkward conversation about practicing to have kids or something. But hey, it's a cool moment to see something you would never ever see as a fan, and those are those conversations that the stars have with themselves, among themselves, at a closed event that you'd never ever ever see. And then you get, on top of it, the whole documentary about The Undertaker. It's just it's so good on so many levels. I have no issue at all. I have nothing to critique about the first two chapters. Nothing. So let's continue on here with a little bit more audio from this documentary, and then we'll continue.
The process.
process has become bigger and bigger each year to get me to a place where I can go out and deliver that performance.
So Undertaker is getting his knee worked on. He's got like a needle in his leg, and you know, you just don't see these things, right? You don't see these things as a fan. You just see him maybe limping around, going slow, and it's hard to watch because you know he's in pain, yet he loves what he does. It's an uncomfortable state to be in as a fan when you're watching Undertaker's matches, even at this point, because you are concerned for the man. You don't want to see Undertaker get severely injured or injure an opponent during his matches. Like, that's how I view his matches now, is I look for, oh God, is he going to get a concussion? Is he going to break somebody's arm? You know, I don't mean he's sloppy at his work at all, but as you age, you naturally slow down and your timing gets slower just because that's life. And I was, you know, that's how I viewed his matches. The other big thing that we got from part one and part two, huge, huge things that you didn't maybe really understand the magnitude of, is the relationship between Vince McMahon and The Undertaker. Huge. Absolutely, like, it is a bond that I didn't know that they had. I knew that they were, they were certainly friendly. I knew that they were probably friends, but I didn't know that to that level that they were truly, you know, basically like father and son. I mean, Undertaker referred to Vince McMahon many times as a father figure. And in part two, in chapter two, Vince actually tears up. He can't answer the question of what Mark Calloway means to this business and to him. He actually tells the cameras to shut off, and Vince McMahon tears up. So Mr. Macho, alpha male, can't answer the question. That tells you all you need to know about the relationship that they have. It's a bond that will never be broken. Vince refers to The Undertaker many times as the most loyal employee, most loyal man he's ever met. And I believe him. When The Undertaker had the opportunity during the Monday Night Wars to go to WCW, like many of his co-workers did for, you know, more money, he didn't. He stuck by Vince McMahon's side. And the bond that they have is something that I didn't know was as strong as it was. And you get that sense throughout the documentary. So part one ends where WrestleMania 33 ends. And very disappointed in his match, understandably. And he traditionally says at the end of every WrestleMania that he's probably done. And yet he keeps coming back and keeps coming back and keeps coming back. And you'll notice a trend here as he talks about this could be the end, this might be it, blah, blah, blah. And so Michelle clearly is trying to hold out hope that this could indeed be the end and he can just worry about being a father and being a husband. And he just keeps getting drawn back as he feels better after WrestleMania. He feels better. He gets a surgery. He trains. He starts to feel it. Vince calls him. And then you're right back into it for next year's WrestleMania. So I can definitely see the cycle, as many of us can. So, all right. Well, let's take a quick break. And then on the other side, we're going to get into part two of The Undertaker, The Last Ride. So you guys want a podcast that'll make you think? Then check out Sacca's Is That So? So what's this podcast about? Now think about this. Have you ever heard something repeated so many times and you just assume it's true? Well, this is the podcast that could be your truth buster. It's a podcast that focuses on challenging those conventional norms with topics such as entrepreneurship, tech, society, culture, a really wide array of things that are just the conventional norms that we all assume are just true. And he helps us question things as we assume that they're true. But it's not just a lecture of sorts. He's really entertaining. And he's got a kind of a lightheartedness and humor to him that is very pronounced during the show, so it's very easy to listen to, but he also makes you think. That's a great balance to have, and he's just an absolute professional. So here are some of the topics that they discussed recently. Are nonprofits run badly and inefficiently? Is entrepreneurship all glitz and glam? Or what does it mean to be financially literate? These are just a couple of examples. So go check out Saka's Is That So? That's S-A-K-A apostrophe S. Is That So? It's available on Spreaker or Apple Podcast. Again, it's Saka's Is That So? Go check it out today. Hey, everybody. So it's not often that we talk about music here on this show or bands, but when we do, I think it's when it's worth listening to and when I run across a song or a band that I think it's worth sharing on this show. And that's one of these moments, and that's one of those bands that I think you guys should listen to. And it's just a particular song right now. And the song is called To the Fallen Sons. It's by a band called Carolus, C-A-R-O-L-U-S. And they're a newly formed band from Sweden. And they love making music about history, which is really, really cool. So this song in particular is about Carolians and the soldiers of the Swedish kings, King Charles the VI and King Charles the VII in the late 17th and 18th centuries. So let me give you a quick sample. And again, you can find them on Spotify under the song To the Fallen Sons. It's by Carolus, C-A-R-O-L-U-S.
WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
All right, guys, let's get back to it. And part two of The Undertaker's Last Ride documentary. And it starts out when you get going in part two, the whole aftermath reflecting on WrestleMania 33. And he watches himself in the match, sitting at home, and you could see the grimace on his face, and saying how when he put all of his things in the ring, it was really for real because he didn't think he was coming back. So it was an emotional moment. I remember that happening and thinking, yeah, this could really be the end of The Undertaker. This could be the final match of Mark Calloway, and we all know that now to not be the case. But after that, he goes into the hip surgery that he prepares for down in New York City. You see him enjoying his life with Michelle McCool. And, of course, they get into the relationship, as I mentioned, with The Undertaker and Vince McMahon. And that was really emotional to see the real connection. And I don't even think we're seeing the true or the real extent of it. I mean, we're only still seeing a part of it. I didn't really realize the magnitude of their bond, and that's pretty damn cool. But as we know, as Undertaker starts to feel good, he starts to come back from his surgery. He wants redemption. And that's going to be a recurring theme, because not only does he want redemption after the Roman Reigns match at WrestleMania 33, we'll see later that he wants redemption after the Goldberg disaster that occurred in Saudi Arabia. I mean, it was an unmitigated, probably worse that many have seen in many, many years between Goldberg and Undertaker. And we see after that that he comes back to get redemption, and he wants redemption. But part three, I guess, is also going to cover the Saudi Arabia match between Kane, Undertaker, and DX, which was just a bomb, as many of us remember. So Undertaker wants redemption, and he starts doing a lot of cardio, which is something that was missing from his routine prior to. And so let's get a little bit of audio. Let's get into that. Let's stop listening to me talk.
To be able to continue to increase the speed and the movement and hit ropes and to take a bump and be able to get up and go, you know what? That's not so bad. That's pretty cool.
He felt good and he said, record this. I was like, okay. So he hit the ropes 3-4 times, took a couple bumps. Came into the corner and he said,
I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. I see you in New Orleans.
So Undertaker sent that exact video to Vince McMahon because he needed a deadline of a response from Undertaker if he could make Mania against John Cena. Now, prior to this, Undertaker went through, again, a ton of cardio, went to some CrossFit, and dropped 30 pounds and was able to get into ring shape, better shape than he ever was. And by God, if you saw the video of this, when Undertaker doesn't have his beard or goatee dyed, he's all gray. He's an old man. I mean, it looks awful. But in great shape, he sent that exact video to Vince and told him that he could work with Cena at WrestleMania 34. And, I remember that match as kind of a little underwhelming. And, Undertaker did all of this prep to get himself ready for WrestleMania 34 with John Cena, who had been pandering him for weeks and weeks and weeks to have a match. And Undertaker didn't respond, and finally comes out at WrestleMania. And it was a very lopsided match. John Cena got in a couple of offensive moves, but it was essentially a landslide for The Undertaker, which was a bit disappointing. I mean, you build Undertaker and John Cena in your head, and you get basically a squash match at Mania. Not the best thing you want to see, but Undertaker, I do remember, looked very, very good in that match. Very fluid, very quick, light on his feet, and seemed like shades of the Undertaker of yesteryear. And he even felt and said that the same thing. So it was great to hear from him that he had been rebuilding his body, his spirit, his mind to get back into WrestleMania shape and get back into the really rebuild his confidence after it was shook big time with Roman Reigns the year before. That really bothered him with Roman Reigns, because not only did he, according to him, have a stinker, but he also made Roman a part of that, and he knows how important it is to build the stars for tomorrow. And yet he felt he was responsible for that, even though he knew Roman would never admit it, because it's a respect thing. So it humanized him in a big, big way. If you guys haven't seen this documentary, what are you doing? Please, you gotta go see it. Subscribe to the WWE Network, see it. And even if you don't have any interest in documentaries, this one's worth seeing, because it is The Undertaker for the first time ever, seeing his personal life, seeing behind the scenes, hearing the conversations that happen, the relationships that are formed, the lack of confidence The Undertaker has that many of us thought it could not be possible to have. So it is very captivating, and it's well done, and it's just a very quality, top-notch, A-plus product that WWE production team put out there. So kudos to all of those of you who were involved in this. It was very well done. It took a hell of a long time to put together. And let me tell you one thing. After all of the nonsensical, just cinematic, goofy crap stuff that WWE has done with their pre-produced, overproduced, terrible attempt at comedy cinematic presentations that they've done with Boneyard to some extent, which ironically also included The Undertaker. Less so, though. I have less gripe with the Boneyard match, although the punching insert soundboard was just asinine. More so the Firefly Funhouse, and then more recently the Money in the Bank ladder matches, which absolutely were an abomination of pro wrestling. You guys know how I feel about that. So to come from that, to go to this documentary, you talk about a breath of fresh air. You talk about cleansing your palate from that garbage. This will do it. This will bring you to a place that reminds you why you love wrestling and why you're emotionally invested. I can guarantee you that you will feel more emotion from this documentary than you have felt from WWE programming in the last 6 months. That's saying something. Because of how well this is done, and this has never been done for Undertaker, and it's 30 years built up of what are his thoughts? What's he really like? All these questions. And there's three more parts to go. And I'm on board all the way for this. This is an amazing accomplishment for all involved. So please go and check it out. I'm not getting paid, by the way, to tell you how good it is. This is what I really feel. It is. I was sitting there and I got lost in time. That is how you know that you are watching a program that you and your brain and your soul care about. You don't even look at the clock. You don't care what time it is. You don't know. You're just lost in this time loop. And it was awesome. And I could watch it again. I probably will watch it again when I have time. So, well, guys, that's what I wanted to do. I know it's I could go in much more depth, and I probably will for part three, part four, part five, and bring in a co-host and so forth. It's worth talking about. So, but I do want to cover this because it's a big one. This is one of the biggest things to come in WWE programming in quite a while. So check it out. I'll say that one last time. All right. Well, guys, thank you for joining me on this quick little review of The Last Ride, part one and two. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll continue to do this again if you'd like. And hit us up on Twitter at the WWE Podcast, or rate and review us on iTunes, which is now Apple Podcasts. Please give us a subscribe if you like it. And I will, of course, be back tomorrow night with your Raw review. So until then, I'll talk to you soon. So you guys want a podcast that'll make you think? Then check out Sacca's Is That So? So what's this podcast about? But think about this. Have you ever heard something repeated so many times and you just assume it's true? Well, this is the podcast that could be your truth buster. It's a podcast that focuses on challenging those conventional norms with topics such as entrepreneurship, tech, society, culture, a wide array of things that are just the conventional norms that we all assume are just true. And he helps us question things as we assume that they're true. But it's not just a lecture of sorts. He's really entertaining. And he's got a kind of a lightheartedness and humor to him that is very pronounced during the show. So it's very easy to listen to. But he also makes you think. That's a great balance to have. And he's just an absolute professional. So here are some of the topics that they discussed recently. Are nonprofits run badly and inefficiently? Is entrepreneurship all glitz and glam? Or what does it mean to be financially literate? These are just a couple of examples. So go check out Sacca's Is That So? That's S-A-K-A apostrophe S. Is That So? It's available on Spreaker or Apple Podcast. Again, it's Sacca's Is That So? Go
Thanks
check
for
it out
to
today.
The WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEpodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.